Let's go back to your question.
Let's take the blind man, or the deaf man, or the one with palsy, or the one with dropsy, or the one with a withered arm, or the woman who touched him, or the daughter of Jairus, or the son of the widow at Nain, or Lazarus, or the son of the centurion, the slave of the serf of the centurion. And let's see that all of these are simply different false appearances about the one illusion that Christ is not there. Each one in a different way is saying Christ is not here. And let's see that our consciousness is saying Christ is there. It makes no difference what name or condition these individuals are expressing. Christ is there. And so the person who phoned about the lower intestine, the one who phoned about something else, are unaware that Christ is their invisible being. And it is our function to know it for them. We cannot know it for them if we do not know it about ourselves. Christ is the invisible being of the man you're going to marry next week or the man you married last week. And it doesn't matter what he shows visibly in this world, your consciousness must rest in that truth. When it does, we are not malpracticing anyone in this world. Now we have a sort of foundation, and if someone rushes into us with this claim or that claim, the claims make no difference. The truth is, Christ is present, and there is no second. And in maintaining that truth, you are firming your foundation so that you will be ready to be lifted higher, still higher, and so high that finally for you the experience of the living, impersonal, infinite Christ becomes your permanent consciousness. Just as the Christ Jesus was that same consciousness that we are all developing. Now there will be a little voice in you, a Pharisee, always bringing to you more conditions. But there will be a Christ consciousness in you standing and facing that condition and knowing that it is a lie about the truth of your own being. And you must actively practice this every day in every detail of your life, until you can find that glorious peace. We must find that peace which says it makes no difference what happens from here on out in the world or in my human life. That is not the indication of who I am. My human life does not determine the nature of my being. The way my business goes up or down, the way my happiness goes up or down, these are not determining the nature of my being. But rather, the nature of my being determines these things. And because the nature of your being is Christ everywhere, whoever walks into your life with a problem is telling you a lie. And you cannot ignore the lie. You must meet the lie with the truth of your consciousness. That where the lie is, get started asking your questions about God. Is God there? What is God doing? Is God permitting that lie? Is God the power? Is God the cause of that lie? If God didn't create that lie, who did, if God is the only creator? Until you can see the nothingness of the problem. And then the truth is restored. The ear that was cut off, the lie that appeared to you, was the cutting off of truth. And now the truth is restored in its proper place by the conscious awareness that God is not permitting this condition. God is not permitting this appearance of evil. God is not permitting His universe to be sullied by an imperfection. God is the only cause there, and not causing that problem. God is the only cause there, the only power there, and not permitting that problem. Always you're building your conscious awareness of God's universe. We should be doing this whether there are problems or not. In fact, the problems come to us to remind us that we should be doing this. Building our consciousness of God's presence in every possible way. If you're doing that, you're feeling the peace. The peace which knows that nobody can enter to remove my being. Nobody can alter the laws of God. I don't have to sit here and wonder with what tomorrow will bring. The peace is the knowledge that you are in your permanent self. You have found your Christ consciousness. And you're conscious of your Christhood everywhere. And so every problem now is only a challenge to draw you out of the knowledge of Christ as the reality of everyone. This is the peace we want to build. Is God changing? Is God going to be different tomorrow? No. Am I changing? Will I be different tomorrow? Not if you accept Christ as your name. When will you change? Never if you accept Christ as your name. And if you think you're going to change, you're not accepting Christ. Do you see what we're getting to? Only Christ can live in the fifth plane. You could put all your attention on your life in this world, and you would shortchange yourself, because the purpose of our work is to enter the fifth plane. And those of you who have not caught that clearly had better sit back and reevaluate your present position. If you are still thinking of things about this world that you want to protect and to secure and attain, you're not at the level where this class should be. We are living in the Christ consciousness. And we are even holding you in the Christ consciousness. We would like you to hold us in the Christ consciousness, so that we have one invisible infinite substance called Christ everywhere in our consciousness. And we trust it. We don't have good sunbeams and bad sunbeams in Christ. We just have sunshine. We don't have good health or bad health in Christ. We just have health. We don't have lack or abundance. We just have permanent supply. We have it without opposites. Just as the sunshine is sunshine, the qualities of God have no opposites. They're not graded. Christ only recognizes the presence of Christ's qualities and knows there are no other qualities present. There's nothing to evaluate or judge except to know that only Christ's qualities are present here and there and everywhere. You see how you're building a homogenized consciousness. You don't have a little cream at the top and down at the bottom a lot of fear. It's all mixed into one total awareness that only Christ is present everywhere, and it matters not what appears. It isn't there. Christ is. There's no paralytic there. There is no blind man in your spiritual universe. There is no deaf person in your spiritual universe. And do not accept yourself to be one, because that's a false sense of self. That's the division. The moment you think you're the blind man or the deaf man or the paralytic or the sick person, you're denying who you are. You're living in the false sense of self. You cannot do that and expect the activity of Christ to open your eyes, to open your ears, to reveal the perfection of your being. When you deny yourself to be the Christ, you lose the power of the Christ. When you refuse to live in the kingdom of God where Christ lives, then the added things cannot materialize. And so I don't care what misfortune has come into your life. It didn't. It never did. And if you think it has, if you think you've got a past history of misfortunes in this direction or that direction, you are denying the Christ of being. You were the Christ yesterday too. And so how could you have a history of misfortunes? You see how subtly you have accepted that you were not the Christ before. When will you become the Christ? And so you must go back over this past lifetime and see that you always were the Christ. That's why you learn there's no time. You must go back over all of your lifetimes and see you never were anything but the Christ. And you must look ahead and see you never will be anything but the Christ. And right now you're nothing but the Christ. So don't start thinking in terms of your inherited problems or the accident you had 3 years ago that shook you up. It didn't happen to Christ. And now that you know Christ as self now, you must know Christ as self in the then that was really the same as now. In other words, don't just forgive the paralytic and say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Speak to the paralytic of your own human mind, to the human selfhood of you, which is the paralytic. You say, "Arise, pick up that bed." The paralytic was always your own human sense of self. That's the paralytic. And every defect that appears in the Bible that has to be brought and restored to its normalcy, those defects are the defects of our own human consciousness. For you, there can be no sick people in the world. There can be no lacks or limitations or anything unlike God. And it doesn't matter if they appear. They do not exist, because in your Christ consciousness, only Christ exists everywhere. I think quite a number of us can attain the awareness that only Christ exists everywhere. And I think we can learn to live in that knowledge. It doesn't mean we stop functioning in the visible material world at all. will function a lot better. This is the consciousness we ought to hold, develop, protect, preserve against every temptation. Christ Jesus walked through the earth doing just that, to show us that we must do that. We must face the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the demoniacs, outside of ourselves and within our so-called selves, and meet them all as one illusion of the world mind. And do not treat them, for you never go to the effect. Recognize their source is not God, but the world mind, and be still in that knowledge that the world mind is no power over God. The world mind is no power over Christ here where you stand, Christ there where you stand, Christ everywhere where you stand, and rest. And your business will flourish. You will draw into your household those things you need and those persons you need, and those who you don't need will withdraw. You will find the changeover is a spiritual changeover. All of your activities will benefit. The light of the invisible Christ of being must externalize where it is accepted. And all it can externalize is the visible expression of the phrase, "All that I have is thine." You provide that consciousness, and that is how you seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is how you obey the first commandment. Now with that, we will walk into higher worlds. Up to now, when people have called me and told me what's wrong, realizing that that is what they think is wrong, I've been perfectly willing to talk with them from a human level. I'm giving you advance notice now that I will not be talking to you that way very much longer. I don't think you're children, and I don't think you have to be treated like a parent might treat a child. I think we can talk face to face about truth together without painting words that are more palatable, which in the long run are doing you no good whatsoever. Now we have one consciousness in this room, and that is the Christ. No top, no bottom. No greater strength in one area or another. We're not concerned about the appearances called form. We are dwelling in that consciousness. Out of that substance, our days will appear. Out of that substance, the forms that fill our days will appear. But we dwell in the substance, the consciousness of the all presence of Christ without opposite. Doesn't matter if the world says Republican or Democrat, English or American, Chinese or Japanese, white or black, none of this makes any difference. We are living in Christ consciousness, which is all that is present. And the world may give us all the pairs of opposites that they wish in words. They make no impression on your consciousness of Christ everywhere. As far as you're concerned, there are no hospitals. There are no convalescent homes. There are no physical diseases. There are no malfunctioning organs of the body. You cannot accept them because all that is present is Christ consciousness. Every condition of a material nature is faced the same way, and you'll be able to face them best if you are living in that consciousness, not waiting for the condition to arrive to besiege you. Every claim is a lie. Every claim. And it is always met the same way. Only Christ is present. Christ is your name. Only Christ is present, and Christ is the victim's name. Be conscious of the presence of Christ, perfect as the Father, and rest until all human thought is dissolved in divine thought. And lo, I come to reveal that where you are, I am. That I am the truth of your being. I am the substance of your form. I am the life of you. And now I want you to rest in that consciousness so that I may take you to my many mansions. Mansions of spirit, where truth is revealed to those who dwell in Christ consciousness. We're going to have a 5 or 6 minute recess. Be back in a moment. We're reminded of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, and this is the interesting part of it. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We all know the other phrase, know no man after the flesh. Although we have known Christ after the flesh, now know we him no more. And of course you can see it saying, you've thought of Jesus as a physical being, now know we him no more. Know we not even Jesus after the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, oh, how different it is than worshiping Jesus. If any man be in Christ, we've been doing that for an hour and a half today. Being in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, old things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, when you have taken the time to dwell in Christ consciousness, as the substance of the invisible universe, knowing there is no second, no second self anywhere. You're accepting Christ as the infinite child, the infinite self, the infinite being of your own self and all others, and then you accept no second. Then you're not seeing a Jesus to worship or any other individual to worship. You're not worshiping at the shrine of science or religion or psychology or astrology or tarot cards or prophetic seers. You're worshiping at the shrine of your own being, which is the only place that you can be if you wish to be in Christ. And when you dwell in this Christ consciousness everywhere, the qualities of the Father must flow to you. This is the quickening that comes over you, and it is what accomplishes what no human mind or any physical power can accomplish. Now, how long would it have taken to call an ambulance, to take Malchus there and to have his ear sewn back on? But the quickening put it back on. The quickening restores the lost years of the locusts. The lost years of the locusts are the many human lives we have lived. The quickening does what nothing else on this earth can do. It restores us to spiritual understanding. It opens the gates of the invisible world. That quickening takes the whole time structure of this world with its fastly moving invisible atoms and quickens us out and beyond the atoms so that we are a step closer to seeing and experiencing the realities of creation. It's not a human process. It's a spiritual process. And that is what Paul means when he says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And then in John, in the 17th chapter, second verse, John tells us, speaking of Christ, the Son, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You see, the Christ had power over all flesh. The Christ had power to restore the ear. The Christ has power to raise the paralytic. The Christ has power. And unless we have the Christ, where is the power? We've been looking for the power, but it is in Christ. And we must be in Christ to have the power. The questions you ought to ask yourself then are, will I live this day in Christ or in a human sense of life? Will I live tomorrow in Christ or in a human sense of life? Will I permit the world around me to move in its normal orbit as people, things, places, and conditions, or will I reconcile it by knowing only Christ is there? You see how your tomorrow is going to be determined by your ability to do this, or your lack of such ability. You might really say that we are told that unless you learn to reconcile the world to you as the invisible Christ of your own being, you will destroy yourself. It's either Christ or destroy yourself. Now, those of you who still have many human things that must be done had better reestablish that before you get these human things done, that the only you there is Christ. And then let Christ guide you, direct you, express what you have called these human things. And follow the Christ time sequence instead of your own. When you see another who needs correction, you have first failed to make the first correction, which is that all that needs correction is only in the eyes of the beholder. If you think there's someone who needs correction, you must first correct your belief. The paralytic didn't get up and stand up because Jesus said to him, "Stand up, arise, pick up thy bed and walk." He got up because something had happened inside him. Something that made him think he could do that. Something that made him know he could stand up and walk. His belief that he could not walk had been removed from him by Christ recognition. And lo and behold, he found that he could walk. He had no belief that he could not walk. Christ in you destroys beliefs that are untrue. And this is how the Christ works. It destroys that which is unreal. It destroys the human concepts we entertain. That's why we're told no might or power is necessary. In fact, if you used might, the sword, if you used power, all you would do would be to restore a physical condition. When Christ restores, there is the added understanding of spiritual identity. And this restoration is not restoring just a physical condition, but lifting into a higher level of self. That's why might and power, although they might restore the boundary of a country, they're not restoring spiritual identity. That's why when we concentrate just on the physical world, we never restore spiritual identity, and we're still confronted with the ups and downs of the physical world that we've accepted. Correct your viewpoint that someone else must be corrected. Someone else must be seen as the invisible Christ. And you can't do it. Only Christ can see someone else as the invisible Christ. You must see yourself as the invisible Christ before you begin any day. You cannot start a day any other way. And you cannot end a day any other way. And if necessary, 20 times during the day, you must come back to that place where you know yourself to be the invisible Christ. And whenever you act out of character to the invisible Christ, you must make the correction within yourself. Christ knows that God is doing a perfect job. And if you think there's something wrong, you don't believe God is doing a perfect job. That means you're out of Christ. That means if the heart murmurs, you go back inside and you say to yourself, God is doing a perfect job. And if the heart continues to murmur, you say it again. Each time, you never let that murmur of the heart convince you that God is not present doing a perfect job. You don't get trapped into that sense of a self which can be imperfect. You remain conscious of Christ as your perfect self. Every time you're tempted by the human mind, it is because the one tempter, the world mind, is trying to persuade your human mind that God is not your invisible self. And every time you let it, You're stepping out of Christ, which is God expressing as your being. And every time you refuse to let it tempt you out, you are in the first commandment of acknowledging only the invisible Christ self everywhere. What's the difference? What the appearance is if Christ is all you can ever be? Sooner or later, that will be accepted and lived in, and you'll be very sensitive to the tempter. You'll recognize the tempter. You'll see how subtly you have declared you're not what God says you are. And when you cease accepting the tempter's word, when you cease stepping out of your own being, you will also cease experiencing the ups and downs of the good and evil world of unreality. Now, I think anyone can understand this. It isn't a deep philosophical treatise. It's good, hard, practical, common sense. And it works. And it works because it's the truth. It's the practical way of living. And the minute you think someone else needs your help physically, before you recognize that only the invisible Christ is there, you're the one who may need the physical help tomorrow. That's why you can't make any exceptions. The moment you make an exception for somebody, you have made an exception and have brought yourself out of Christhood, which only sees what God has made, which only accepts what God is doing, which lives totally in the world of God and not in the world of the human mind. Now dwell there for a minute and see how subtly and beautifully there's an internal shift of gears. Before you know it, you're not dwelling in the human mind at all. You're dwelling in the Christ mind. You're having that mind which was in Christ Jesus. And that mind, you see, becomes the activity of your soul. When you have weeded the garden, when you have purified of all concepts, of all temptations to believe that what then Christ is present everywhere, you're in your soul. You're on the other side of the door. And your soul moves out far and wide. It has no limitations. It is ever sowing to the Spirit automatically. And it is ever reaping of the Spirit. It is ever responding to the invisible love of God. And so your soul is being drawn to the love, by the love of God, to the love of God. And that is the sunshine that blesses you, that invisible love of God flowing through your soul because you have been purified of temptation to believe that aught but Christ is present. We open to the love which becomes the light. In a few weeks, we're going to send you our new address. And all it will really say is what this has meant to us, and that we'll continue to be available. We'll continue to work with anyone who wants us to. That there will be another tape sent out to the students who want it once a month. It will not be a tape from a class of this nature, but rather a private tape. A tape that will be prepared in private and will be sent to any student who wants it once a month, every month. We hope that way to keep abreast spiritually, but I can tell you this, that tape will not be about this world. That phase is over. In fact, this is the last class in which we will discuss this world. We want the foundation of living in the Christ mind as a basis for us being able to penetrate and experience the higher worlds that are ever present around us. That will be the nature of all future tapes that will be sent privately. Inner teaching, inner instruction about an invisible universe. So our visible world work is only going to be a fruitage, an effect of the invisible conscious awareness of Christ present as our own being everywhere. We'd like to move with you that way. We know that is the way you will experience the fruitage of truth in consciousness. Now, there may be some of you who are not on our, in our book or our mailing list. I don't know. If you want to get this announcement about where we'll be, just jot your name in the book. If we have your name, of course, you'll get it automatically. Next week, I'd like you to be prepared a different way. During the week, give close attention to living in the Christ being as an infinite being without opposite, as you do that, you find you're clearing the way for a soul experience, a soul consciousness, and really opening yourself to a permanent level of yourself, so that in our final class, next week, we can move out of this world, dwell in the Father, experience His presence, and rest in the experience of the Word of God in and as our very being. In quick review, answer the five questions about yourself until you know who you are sufficiently to stay there. Ask yourself the questions about God on any problem that faces you until you know that God could not have created the problem and God is present, maintaining perfection, and then rest in confidence in that truth. Develop the capacity to face the world around you knowing it is the invisible Christ, no matter how it appears to be. And there are no exceptions, there are no thorns, there are no roses. There is no material world in Christ consciousness. Live with that. And watch the smiles of those who come into your experience. For you will not be accepting them as material beings. You will be accepting them as the actual expression of Christ invisible. They will feel it. They will arise and pick up their beds and walk. They will walk in your consciousness of the truth of their being. You will be lifting them when you lift yourself. With that, we can stand together and enter together the Father's house on a new level. Quickened. We'll make this a very short half because the first one overran, and I know you've all got boiling pots at home for dinner, so thanks very much.